Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
The hustle and bustle of everyday living can rob us of the best that God has to offer His children. We like to multitask everything, hoping to accomplish the most of our day. So we add our time with God as a chore on our to-do list. But throughout Scripture, we are told to be still before the Lord and wait patiently on Him alone. Today, we are looking at some examples of people who found strength in quiet aloneness. So join in the conversation as we discover the greatness of being alone with God. Janie, today I have an interesting story to share about St. Patrick. Since St. Patrick's Day is coming up, I wanted to know more about what we are supposed to be celebrating on March 17th. So I looked him up and I was very surprised at what I found. Well, St. Patrick was kidnapped and enslaved at age 16 from his home in England by Irish marauders. And he was taken back to Ireland, and his slave job was to be a shepherd of animals. And it was during that time in the shepherd's field that he grew close to the Lord. And one night in a dream, he was shown how to escape. And so he followed those instructions and escaped back to England. And shortly after his arrival, he had another dream calling him back to be a missionary in Ireland. And so he studied in the priesthood and he was ordained a bishop. And he went back to Ireland and he shared the gospel there for over 40 years.
Wow.
Isn't that a neat story? He baptized countless numbers. He built churches all over Ireland. And it was said that he used the shamrock, the three-leaf clover, to help describe the Holy Trinity.
The Trinity.
Yes.
Oh, how neat. Yes. Three in one.
Yes. And he died on March 17th, 461. And so St. Patrick's Day began as a celebration of his life.
Wow.
But his story, Janie, reminded me of David. And David's time in the shepherd's field, although he was not enslaved, he was a shepherd. And he drew close to the Lord in the shepherd's field. And I want to read the story, just a little bit of scripture, in 1 Samuel 17. When David went to the battlefield, and Goliath was out there taunting the armies of Israel, David said to Saul in verse 32, he said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," meaning Goliath. "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote it, and delivered it out of its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and smote it and slew it. Your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And so Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Boy, the Lord was with him, wasn't he?
And so neat as you're relating that story, because he didn't see the size of the bear or the lion or even the height of Goliath. And I read someplace that Goliath would have stood well over the top of a current day basketball rim or basketball goal.
I think he was more than 9 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah. And here is a supposedly red-headed, ruddy, young man that didn't see anything except knowing the strength of God. And he had learned that with the animals first.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't seem to intimidate him in the slightest because he knew his God. And so a little bit of visiting today on how did David learn in that shepherd's field, I'm not saying lonely, but in aloneness. Uh-huh. I mean, his visiting friends were the sheep.
Right.
And yes, they did talk back with some kind of bat and let him know. But you know what? All of their conversation with him was, "Shepherd, I need you. I need you because I'm cast down," or "I need you because we need still waters," or "we don't have any food," or "we have nose flies to where we can't stop and think." Yeah. That it was always a one-way conversation to that shepherd. And so can you see the subtlety of how the Lord was teaching David perseverance, patience, and to keep a good humor, and to even probably fall in love with some of those sheep that were more tender or more sensitive than others, because he didn't know each one by name. Each one had a personality.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that you were able to glean in thinking about St. Patrick being out there in his shepherd's field?
Well, with St. Patrick, you know, he was out there drawing close to the Lord, and the Lord gave him a dream about how to get back home, and then gave him another dream sharing how he can be a blessing to others. And you know, you see St. Patrick following all the right steps. You know, he went and studied for the priesthood and was ordained a bishop, and then went back into the field, as missionaries do, and did the mission work for over 40 years, not for a paycheck, because it says he lived in poverty. So he didn't do it for money. He didn't do it for fame or glory. He did it for the Lord, the gospel being spread to all of Ireland. And that was his purpose. I didn't read this, but I even heard that he used the scriptures to help teach those people how to read and write. Those that didn't know how to read and write, he helped them learn how to read and write by using the scriptures.
And what a beautiful way to learn and apply truth.
Yeah.
Because you're not having to deal with falsehood. You're learning from the purity of the mind of God how to be fortified as well as to how to minister. And I'll just say one thing. We better get some good sleep at night if we are still going to be spoken to in a dream. We can't have restless sleep now, can we?
Right. So. Well, and then the thing that I saw in with David was that God prepared him in the shepherd's field to meet Goliath. He built his confidence. He showed up in miraculous ways in David's life in the shepherd's field, so that when Goliath showed up, David had no fear. There was nothing that could move him from his stand, because he had been prepared in the shepherd's field. And you know, Janie, I hear so many times, and I've been guilty of this, using the scripture in 1 Thessalonians that says, "Pray continually." And so we tend, as busy Americans, we tend to multitask with our prayer time.
Mm.
You know, we will get up in the morning and we'll pray while we're taking a shower and getting dressed and driving to work and, you know, all of those different things. And we have no special alone shepherd's field time with God. And so God isn't really, he doesn't have our full attention. He doesn't have a way to show up in miraculous ways for us, to help us prepare in that shepherd's field for the Goliaths in our life. And so we are meeting Goliaths, and we look more like the Israel army hiding behind,
cowering
yes. down, because we don't know how to defeat that Goliath in our life when we're not being prepared in the shepherd's field. And so, you know, that's really what God has shown me in these two stories, in being in the shepherd's field. And it's just blessed my heart so much, because I hear that in our Christian culture today is that, well, I pray all the time. You know, I pray continually. God's continually, and I am not saying that that is not a valid time. We should be praying continually. The scriptures tell us to. But having that time alone in the shepherd's field, you know, where's your shepherd's field? I asked that question a few weeks ago at our ladies' meeting, and Debbie Martin said, you know, I know exactly where my shepherd's field is. It's in my pink chair upstairs. And it was just blessed my heart so much. And you know, knowing where your shepherd's field is one thing, but how much time do you spend there?
Well, and stop and just compare that to what the Lord has said. He's set up the union of marriage to represent the intimacy that we are to have. And stop and think with your husband. It's great for you to visit back and forth with him while you're working on your home or preparing a meal or taking the kids someplace. But if that's all the communication mm-hmm. that you had with your husband, your heart would still be lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord, I believe, hungers for us to just say, I'm putting aside everything else. I'm choosing to not watch television or mm-hmm. let anything vile before my mm-hmm. eyes. And I'm going to come in a sweet fellowship. One of the ways that I believe that David and, hey, maybe St. Patrick learned these principles is out of one of the first Psalms that David actually penned, and it's Psalms 19.
Oh.
And it is a psalm that if we have any capability of memorizing, that and Psalms 23 should probably be our spring projects.
Yes.
But he starts out so many different ways throughout the scriptures when he wants to get to our hearts. He starts out by having us look at his creation. He's mentioned that in Romans 1. He certainly gave us a good review in Job when mm-hmm. Job was perplexed.
Yes.
He didn't say, Job, let me handle your perplexity. But Job, look who created this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you grow a blade of grass? Can
right.
you hang a cloud? And then the same thing happened in a little bit different way with David when he starts off with saying, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Now picture David laying out underneath the stars. And he hears the bleating of the sheep, and it's quiet. He knows there's no predators around. Where do his thoughts drift to? They're open. They're not cluttered. They're open to see the handiwork. And mm-hmm. it causes his heart to rejoice, and it causes him to say that he stands in awe at the world, to the end of the world, that there's like no end. So here mm-hmm. is a shepherd boy seeing the vastness of what his shepherd is showing him.
Mm-hmm.
And I like when we read these Psalms, because we talk about David being the shepherd and what he's learning with the sheep, but he's also learning from the great shepherd mm-hmm. as to how to receive from the great shepherd. You know, in John right. 10, he talks about my sheep know my voice
mm-hmm.
and they won't go with someone who
right.
is of a false, you know, that tries uh-huh. to come in the wrong way into
mm-hmm.
the fold. But the part that really kind of dovetails with what you're talking about is in Psalms 19 verses, I think it starts in like 8 to 11, and he describes the Word of God in so many colorful, unique, different ways. The law of the Lord is perfect, converts the soul. But then the testimonies of the Lord make wise the simple. And then the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And boy, do we need some heart rejoicing. The commandment of the Lord is pure, opening up and enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And you know, I believe it's in Isaiah where it says, if you have the right fear of the Lord, all the other fears go out the window.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. you understand that He is able to take care of everything mm-hmm. when you stand in fear and reverential respect of His power, His strength, and who He is, everlasting to everlasting. Mm-hmm. And then He brings in, you know, I think David had I'm not sure what his spiritual gift may have been, but he had a tenderness. He just says, yeah, these are like fine gold. They're sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And moreover, by them is your servant warned. So even though he's talking about all the benefits that the Word of God's going to do, he says, but they're also going to warn you. And in keeping them, oh, people, please listen today. In keeping them, there is great reward. Mm-hmm. Love it. Then he has a prayer, Sharon, that we all should probably make weekly, if not daily. And he says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Not from the faults that you don't know about me, mm-hmm. but cleanse me from the faults that I don't know about myself.
Right.
And how neat that he says, keep me from the secret faults. And don't you know if we pray that, he's yes. going to honor it?
He will reveal those secret faults and help us with those things.
And then he goes back and he says, and keep your servant also from presumptuous sins. Sharon, there have been times that a thought comes and I go, oh, Lord, that'd really be great. Now, let's go do that. Or
no. Let's build a temple right here.
Yeah, let's do it right now. Let me see. Let me get the phone number. And many times in the zeal, which Peter certainly was a pro at, mm-hmm. It's not always according to knowledge. And sometimes it's not according to timing, even though the thought is from the Holy Spirit. But we don't wait.
Right.
Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God.
And take it to the shepherd's field. Take those ideas to the shepherd's field. I'm so blown away, I guess, if that's a term that I can use, by the realness of being in the shepherd's field. I mean, if you look at the scriptures, there's no mention of David in the scriptures before Samuel goes to anoint the king.
Well, he wasn't thought of. He had seven mm-hmm. other brothers, and he was stuck out in the...
Yes, I'm sure it's not David. We'll just leave him there.
Yeah. He's not... He couldn't be the anointed.
But think about all the time that David spent with the Lord in that shepherd's field, drawing nearer to him.
What do you think were some of the chief character traits that he developed out there in his aloneness, which may have included some loneliness?
Oh, absolutely.
But what kind of traits do you think that he got in his heart? What kind of character did the Lord, maybe my question would be, what type of character does God build in a person when they do pull apart and they are quiet? Is it the fruit of the Spirit?
Oh, absolutely. Growing in those things, the love, the joy, the peace. His joy didn't come from anyone else.
No.
His joy didn't come from his fun times with his brothers.
That's right. He learned to stand alone. Mm-hmm. And in this culture, we are kind of the flock mentality. We kind of want to all flock together and gain strength from each other, which is not wrong. But if you're going to lead the flock, then you're going to know how to stand alone and need no one except the great shepherd and still have a spirit of contentment. Mm-hmm. Not be thinking, oh, I wish I was back at the big house with a family.
Yeah.
Or I wonder how much longer I'm going to have to do this. And then the other thing that impressed me, Sharon, out of this story is once they anointed him, what happened? The family didn't go, oh, David, you're going to be the next king. He got anointed, and then he probably said thank you to Samuel, and then he went right back out to the field and started tending the sheep. Mm-hmm. And I've got a one-liner here you've got to let me share today on timing. All right? So how does God move a man without telling him the future? Because even though David had was told he'd be anointed, he had no idea how, when, where. He knew nothing about the future. And the word we have to use is faith. But here is a little ditty that we put up when we were doing counseling and people were really uptight about the timing issue. Mm-hmm. And it says, when you do not hear from God in your time, be assured you will hear from him in his time. But in the meantime, redeem the time, for if you kill time, you'll injure eternity.
Wow. That's a one-liner?
Sorry.
Jenny, are you sure that wasn't a one paragraph?
That's kind of a one-liner with the way I breathe, okay? But we need to realize that we do need to redeem the time, for the days are evil. And to do that, I think the lesson we want to get across today is a shepherd's field is a mandate. It is a requirement. It is an absolute. And if you can't find the time to give the Lord the quality time that he deserves after he gave his quality time in giving his life, then it shows that we are still very selfish sheep.
Yes. You know, our culture today, just as St. Patrick's Day has nothing to do with St. Patrick anymore. I mean, we're not told that story of St. It's all about leprechauns and gold at the end of the rainbow and wearing green and the shamrock. You know, there's not the story of what sacrifice he made. And I mean, this was a missionary. He worked hard, and his life has been kind of turned into a holiday for drinking and partying. Mm-hmm, and so, you know, our culture today is one that we've taken on what the world has delivered to us. Celebration of St. Patrick's Day is not even shared among Christians. We don't know that story. And so as we look at the shepherd's field and realizing that that alone time is so important, even Jesus got alone with God. It's important to pray continually. I'm not taking that away. But it's important for us to be alone in the shepherd's field. Do what you have to do, whether it's get up early or go to bed late, but do what you have to do to spend that alone time with God, because it is so very important. You will be encouraged in the shepherd's field, and then you can be an encourager to others, because God will build you, build your confidence. He will show up in miraculous ways. He will do things that will blow your mind.
Well, and he will open up your heart. And it's good, Sharon, I think, if we have a passage of scripture and then we even close our Bible. Mm-hmm. And then we just let the Spirit meditate those words. I learned a lot this week as I went back and said, cleanse me from my secret faults.
Mm-hmm. So we're just learning to listen to the Lord and allowing him to speak to us in that time. So I pray that you will find that shepherd's field this week, even as early as today. And consider Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. I pray that you can read these verses and it be true
about you. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.